Friday, November 22nd, 1963, at 12:30 p.m. Central Time in Dallas, Texas, the 35th President of the United States, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, was assassinated. JFK was making an official state visit to smooth over friction between Democratic liberals and Governor John Conley. JFK took part in a presidential motorcade through Daley Plaza. Kennedy and his wife, Jackie, were riding in a 1961 Lincoln Continental convertible, occupied by driver Agent Bill Greer, SAIC Roy Kellerman, Texas Governor John Connally, and Governor Connally's wife, Nellie, the president's wife, Jackie Kennedy. And as the motorcade entered Daley Plaza, the First Lady of Texas turned to Kennedy, who was sitting right behind her, and commented, "Mr. President, you can't say Dallas doesn't love you." Well, Kennedy replied, "No, you certainly can't." Those were his last words. Shortly after Kennedy began waving, as the cars turned, passing the Texas School Book Depository, shots were fired. About 80% of the witnesses recalled hearing three shots. A few witnesses recognized the first gunshot for what it was, but there was little reaction from most of the crowd or those riding in the motorcade. Many later said they imagined what they heard to be a firecracker or a vehicle backfiring. Within 1 second of each other, Governor Conley and Mrs. Kennedy turned abruptly from looking to their left to looking to their right, as evidenced by what is now known as the Zapruder film. According to the Warren Commission and the House Select Committee of Assassinations, JFK was waving to the crowds on his right with his right hand resting on the side of the car when a shot entered his upper back, penetrating his neck, slightly damaging his spinal vertebra and to the top of his right lung. The bullet exited his throat, nearly centerline just beneath the larynx, and nicked the left side of his suit tie knot. He raised his eyebrows and clenched his fist in front of his face and neck. He leaned forward and left towards Jackie. She turned to face him, putting her arms around him in concern. In what has become known as the Warren Commission single bullet, or magic bullet theory, the single bullet penetrated Governor Conley's back, just below the right armpit, creating an oval-shaped entry wound. This impacted and destroyed 4 inches of his right fifth rib, leaving a 2.5-inch oval-shaped, air-sucking chest wound. That same bullet then entered his arm just above the right wrist, cleanly shattering his right radius into 8 pieces. The bullet exited just below the wrist at the inner side of his right palm and finally lodged in his left inner thigh. According to the Warren Commission, a second shot that struck Kennedy, but made no conclusion as to whether this was a second shot or a third bullet fired. The two investigative committees concluded that the second shot entered the rear of Kennedy's head and passed in fragments through his skull, creating a large hole on the rear right side of his head. Kennedy's blood and fragments of his scalp, brain, and skull landed on the interior of the car. The inner and outer surfaces of the front glass window, the raised sun visors, and the front engine hood and the rear trunk lid. His blood and fragments also landed on Secret Service follow-up car and its driver's left arm, as well as the motorcycle officers who were riding on both sides of Kennedy just behind his vehicle. Secret Service Special Agent Clint Hill, who was riding on the left front running board of the follow-up car, which was immediately behind JFK in the motorcade, testified that he heard one shot. Then, as documented in other films and concurrent with the Zapruder film, jumped off into the street and ran forward to board the trunk of the Cadillac to protect Kennedy. Hill testified he heard the fatal headshot as he was reaching the president's car, approximately 5 seconds after the first shot what he heard. After Kennedy was shot in the head, Jackie began climbing out onto the back of the limousine, though she later claimed no recollection of doing so. Although Agent Hill believed she was reaching for something, perhaps a piece of Kennedy's skull, he jumped onto the back of the limousine at the same time she returned to her seat, and she clung to the car as it exited Daley Plaza, accelerated, speeding to Parkland Memorial Hospital. After crawling back into her seat, both Conley and Mrs. Conley heard Jack repeatedly say, "They killed my husband. I have his brains in my hand," she recalled. "All the ride to the hospital, I kept bending over saying, 'Jack, Jack, can you hear me? I love you. Jack,' I kept holding the top of his head down, trying to keep his brains in." Howard Brennan, who had been sitting across the street from the Texas School Book Depository, approached police to say he heard a shot come from above. Lynn looked to see a man with a rifle take another shot from a 6th-floor corner window. He said he had seen the same man looking out the window minutes earlier. At the second shot, Brennan said this man was aiming for his last shot and maybe paused for another second as though to assure himself that he had his mark. Kennedy was pronounced dead 30 minutes after the shooting.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
President Kennedy has been assassinated. It's official now. The president is dead. Women here in shock, some fainted. Grown men, Secret Service men standing by the emergency room, tears streaming down their face. There's only one word to describe the picture here, and that's grief, and much of it. It's official. As of just a few moments ago, the President of the United States is dead.
Connolly would recover from his wounds. As Brennan spoke to the police in front of the building, they were joined by two book depository employees who had been watching the motorcade from the window at the southeast corner of the building's fifth floor. One reported hearing three gunshots come from directly overhead and sounds of a bolt-action rifle and cartridges dropping onto the floor from above. Depository employee Buell Wesley Frazier, who drove Lee Harvey Oswald, a former U.S. Marine, to work, testified that he saw Oswald take a long brown paper bag into the building, which supposedly contained curtain rods. After his supervisor at the depository reported him missing, police broadcast Oswald's description as a suspect in the shooting at the Daily Plaza. Police officer J.D. Tippett subsequently spotted Oswald walking along a sidewalk in Oak Cliff, a residential area 3 miles from the Daily Plaza, and called him over to the police car. After exchanging words, Tippett got out his car, and Oswald shot the officer 4 times. He emptied the bullets casing from the gun and fled. The long brown bag, which Frazier described, was found by 6 police officers near the 6th floor window, where Oswald was determined to have fired gunshots at JFK, along with a rifle and 3 shell casings. The rifle had been purchased secondhand by Oswald the previous March under the alias H. Hiddle and delivered to a post office box he had rented in Dallas. According to the Warren Commission, a partial palm print belonging to Oswald was found on the barrel, and fibers found in a crevice of the rifle were consistent with fibers from the shirt Oswald was wearing when he was arrested. A bullet found on Governor Connally's hospital gurney and 2 bullet fragments found in the Cadillac were basically matched to the rifle. Oswald was later seen slipping into a Texas theater without paying by a neighboring store manager, who alerted the theater's ticket clerk. The clerk phoned the police, and at 1:40 p.m. Central Time, officers arrived and arrested Oswald inside the theater, where he resisted and was attempting to draw his pistol when he was struck and restrained. He denied shooting anyone and claimed he was being made a patsy because he had lived in the Soviet Union. The Dallas Police Department arrested Oswald 70 minutes after the initial shooting. Oswald was charged under the Texas state law with the murder of Kennedy and that of a J.D. Tippin, a Dallas police officer. 2 days later, on Sunday, November 24, 1963, at 11:21 a.m. Central Time, as live television cameras were covering his transfer from the city to county jail, Oswald was fatally shot in the basement of the police headquarters by nefarious nightclub operator Jack Ruby, who many believed was involved with major figures in organized crime and that he killed Oswald as part of the overall plot surrounding the assassination of Kennedy.
There is Leon.
He's been shot. Lee Oswald has been shot.
Oswald was taken to Parkland Memorial Hospital, where he soon died. Ruby was convicted of Oswald's murder, though it was later overturned on appeal, and Ruby died in a prison in 1967 while waiting a new trial. After a nearly year-long investigation, the Warren Commission concluded that Oswald had acted alone in the assassination of JFK, and that Ruby had acted alone in killing Oswald. Kennedy was the 8th and most recent U.S. president to die in office, and the 4th to be assassinated. As dictated by executive protocol, Vice President Lyndon B. Johnson became president upon Kennedy's death. The United States House Select Committee on Assassinations, HSCA, filed a 1979 report which agreed with the Warren Commission that Oswald's 3-shot caused the injuries that Kennedy and Connally sustained. But after analyzing a Dictabelt audio recording, concluded that JFK was likely assassinated as a result of a conspiracy. While the committee could not identify a second government or group involved in a possible conspiracy, they concluded that analysis pointed to the existence of an additional gunshot and high probability that two gunmen fired at Kennedy. Although the U.S. Justice Department concluded active investigations stating that no persuasive evidence can be identified to support the theory of conspiracy in the assassination. JFK's assassination is still the subject of debate, spawning numerous conspiracy theories and alternative scenarios, including communist plots, multiple shooters, and more. In polls conducted between 1966 and 2004, up to 80% of Americans suspected that there was a plot or a cover-up. While many still believe there was a conspiracy at play in the assassination of JFK, it has yet to be proven. Repeated attempts to declassify and release the government's reports and findings of the assassination have been met with many challenges, most recently by Joe Biden, who put a hold on the release of documents due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And the story continues.